Okay, I guess it had some problems. But the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is foundational to Christianity. Without all these, redemption and eternal life is impossible. Why would we gather in church every Sunday? Why would we read Scripture if we did not believe that Jesus is arisen from the dead? It would be in vain. But it's not in vain today, because Christ did rise again from the dead. He conquered death, conquered mankind's greatest enemy. And it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, that he presented himself, Christ, presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Many infallible proofs of the resurrection of Christ. If you're a born-again child of God today, you're a proof, infallible proof that God is alive. If God has changed your life, which only he can do, and you belong to him, that's a miracle of God. Praise the Lord. And we find here evidences of the resurrection, that he was seen by many people. Verse 5 of our reading, he was seen by Cephas, Peter, then by the 12, and then he was seen by over 500. How many witnesses do we need to believe that Jesus is alive and risen from the dead? You got 500 witnesses right there. He was seen by James, verse 7, by all the apostles. And Paul says, last of all, he was seen by me. And we know on the Damascus Road, God revealed himself to the apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus then, but he became the apostle Paul. He was born again on the road, saw Christ. Amen. And Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. So Paul had great experience that he saw Christ risen, exalted from the grave, and he is proof that there is a resurrection. Praise the Lord. Because he was resurrected. He was seen by many people. You see, not only death was necessary. Why did Jesus die? Because of me and you. Sin had to be paid for. In the righteousness and the holiness of God, there could not be a debt of sin that was unpaid and somebody go to heaven. There had to be the debt paid for sin. And we know that Jesus paid for our sins. Simple as Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And for order for there to be deliverance and salvation from sin, there must be a sinless sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they offered animals, lambs, goats, various animals for sacrifice, because there had to be blood shed, there had to be death, or there would be no payment for sin. And there had to be a sinless sacrifice for you and I, because you see, the blood of bulls and goats and things of this nature, they were okay, but that simply pushed our sins further ahead until the perfect sacrifice, which is Christ, would come. And he is the one who took our sins upon himself. And he was compared to as a lamb without blemish, without spot. There was nothing wrong with Christ. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. Amen. He never had to pay for his own sin, for he didn't have any. Man, none of us can say that. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It took God to become a man in order to have a sinless sacrifice. God had to become humanity. And so that's what he did. God sent his only son. You can imagine Jesus leaving the glories of heaven, where there was never a sin, where there was never anything wrong, where there's never a bad neighbor, where there was nothing to get upset or anxious about. And he come down to sinful humanity because God loved you. We can put ourselves there personally. God loved you and me. Praise the Lord. So there was not a man or an angel that could be offered without blemish to God. It had to be the Son of God, because it had to be a sinless sacrifice. And Jesus never sinned. But you see, we can't just leave Jesus on the cross. You know, you can buy a cross nearly anywhere. You can buy a cross at an outlet of some kind. You can buy any kind of place where they sell anything, you know, Walmart or wherever you can buy a cross. But it doesn't end at the cross. And I believe in the preaching of the cross. Don't get me wrong. I believe in the preaching of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it's the power of God. But it doesn't stop with the cross. There has to be a resurrection. Amen. And Jesus died for our sins, paid the payment for our sins according to the scriptures. But not only did he pay for our sins on the cross, nor did he suffer an awful death. Yes, he did. An awful death to lay down his life for you and I. But he went further than that. He rose again from the dead. In John chapter 10, verse 7, he says, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This command I've received from my Father. When Jesus died on the cross, we can say that the crucifixion and the suffering is what killed him. No, my friend, he laid down his life because he loved you and I. He cared for us. He didn't have to, but he did. He chose to. He chose to be obedient to the Father's will and to make the perfect sacrifice so that you personally and I could be saved and have eternal life. It's a sad thing if a person doesn't know Christ and doesn't believe. And there have been numerous ways that people have tried to express their belief in a hereafter. And almost every religion has some sort of belief that things will be better hereafter. And I've heard people say at funerals, well, if somebody died, you know, say, well, they're in a better place now. Well, if they were saved, they're in a better place. If they weren't saved, they're in a worse place. Because there's not but two options, heaven or hell. Let me give you some last words of lost people. Atheist. Thomas Hobbes, a political philosopher, his quotes on his deathbed was, I say again, if I had the whole world at my disposal, I would give it to live one day. I'm about to take a leap into the dark. That's an atheist, supposedly. Thomas Paine, leading writer in American colonies, his quote of death was, stay with me, for God's sake, I cannot bear to be left alone. This is an atheist saying this. Oh Lord, help me. Oh God, what have I done to suffer so much? What will become of me hereafter? In his words, oh Lord, help me. Christ, help me. Don't leave. Stay with me. Send even a child to stay with me, for I am on the edge of hell here now, and I'm alone. If ever the devil had an agent, I have been that one. That was the last words of Thomas Paine before he died. You stay with me. It's going to get better. I promise. A couple more of these. Sir Thomas Scott, Chancellor of England. He was an atheist, but he says, until this moment, I thought there was neither a God nor a hell. Now I know and feel that there are both. And I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty. Probably a famous anti-Christian atheist that you're more aware of, the name is Voltaire. On his deathbed, he said, I am abandoned by God and man. He said to his physician, I will give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months to live. When he was told that this was impossible, he said, then I shall die and go to hell. His nurse said, for all the wealth of Europe, I would never watch another infidel die. David Hume, atheist philosopher famous for his religious skepticism, he cried out on his deathbed, I am in the flames. These all died without hope. Without God, but you don't have to die that way. Jesus provides hope for now and for eternity. We don't have to face death scared or frightened. We can face death in hope and in certainty. This same Jesus who was taken up from the dead shall so come in like manner. This Jesus that we serve and talk about and preach about and sing about, he's real. And he's not dead today. He died, but he rose again from the dead. And he's able to give eternal life to whosoever will. Praise the Lord. Let's look at it without the resurrection. There were some there in Paul's day that said that the resurrection has already passed, but there was no resurrection. In verse 12, now if Christ preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you now say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Okay. And so, what good would it do for you and I to gather here today and celebrate the resurrection of Christ if there wasn't one? It wouldn't do any good. But you're here today, and I believe that you're here because you do believe that Christ not only died but rose again from the dead. Praise the Lord. Got one amen anyway. Without the resurrection, there is no hope for the lost. No hope exists anyway without the resurrection. And to face an eternity with no love and no atonement, no forgiveness, no deliverance from sin, its stronghold, no restoration, no rescue from eternal destruction, not without the resurrection. There has to be a resurrection. Verse 13 says, but if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not raise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. My friend, I'm glad for a resurrection, because it's pretty hopeless. It's absolutely hopeless without a resurrection. Amen. Without the resurrection, the words of Jesus aren't true, but they are true eternally. Amen. The resurrection brings eternal hope. I don't know what your definition of hope is. You may hope the Cowboys have a better team this year. We have many hopes. Most of them are earthly. But resurrection provides eternal hope. And hope is not something, well, I hope I have eternal life. Well, I hope it happens, but they have a certainty and assurance in our heart that is called a hope. Noun, a hope. And we hope for many things in life. We hope we have a car that won't break down before we drive it home from the sales place. Man. We have a hope that an economy that will let us live comfortably. We have a hope that groceries won't continue to go up in price. That expenses will decrease. But that really isn't hope. Because hope is Christ. It's who he is. At the tomb of Lazarus was there, and his sisters were crying because Jesus had been 4 days from showing up when he knew that Lazarus was sick. And this was a dear friend of Christ, and his sisters were too. And one of the sisters said, now, Lord, if you had been here, our brother Lazarus would not have died. And so they were sorrowful and thought if Jesus had come early, they would surely not be facing this sorrow. They needed hope, hope that people couldn't give. I don't care how many mourners they had. And they had professional mourners there. They were paid to mourn for so many days or so many hours. And so, that no longer exists. So if you had ambitions of being a mourner someday, sorry, don't pay very good. And so they were mourning. And they would face sorrow because their brother had died. They needed hope. Hope that people could not give, hope that the temporary things could not give, but only hope that God could give. And there Jesus made it clear who he was, one of the five I am statements he made in the book of John. And Jesus said, well, he'll rise again. And one of the sisters said, well, Lord, we know he'll rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, that's a promise given not only to Lazarus' sisters, that's a promise that gives given to us. We're not saved by somebody that's going to fall in just an endless hope that never happens. But the Bible says that He is the resurrection and the life. If you're saved today, the one who has authority over death, hell, and the grave, He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's going to walk with you through this life. And when it comes time for you to pass over, He's not going to be absent, but He's going to be a present Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's nothing more than this life, then all our hope for heaven and eternity is empty, in vain. Verse 18 says here, then also those who have fallen asleep, He's not talking about people that got sleepy at church, He's talking about the dead, in Christ have perished. He's telling the church at Corinth, if it's true that Jesus didn't rise again from the dead, then those relatives, friends, people of yours, acquaintances, that they've perished and there's no hope for them. Then he says, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If there's nothing more to life than this, then all our hope for heaven and eternity is empty. And such is the philosophy of many people today. However, when death is certain, when medicine has failed to extend life, when reality of death sets in to a person, there is a certainty that it's not all, this is not all there is. Amen. I talked to a man a few years back, and it wasn't one of you, so don't worry. And I was talking to him about eternal life, and he wasn't a believer. He didn't believe that God gave eternal life. He didn't believe in salvation. He said he didn't anyway. And can I tell you one story about him? Yeah, I got a little time here. Story about him. He didn't like kids. He said, I can't stand kids. Said they're odd. Said they embarrass their parents in front of everybody. He wasn't married and didn't have any kids. But he said this. He said, I don't like kids. I said, come on, Jose. I don't know if that was his name. What his name? Said, you got to love kids. You were a kid one time. He said, I know, but they embarrass people, and they're nasty, and they're messy, and all that. Said, and they say too much and talk too much, and I just don't like kids. And as I reminded him, he was once a kid, but I guess he didn't think he was a bad one. But his buddies set him up real bad. And that's when I lived in El Dorado. In El Dorado, there is no mail route. There's only P.O. boxes. Everybody has a P.O. box. And there's a bulletin board. If you had anything going on in your life, you put it there. If you had a garage sale or whatever, you put up there. And so his friends got together and made up something for him. And the sign read, quality babysitting done in my home. And they put his phone number on it. A friend of his that I knew, he came to work, said he came to work the next day. He says, my phone has been ringing off the hook. People want me to keep their kids. He was a man with not much hope. And that same man told me one day, he said, I think sooner or later they'll come up with a serum or a vaccine of some kind that'll add 200 or 300 years to your life. I don't know if he's still alive today. He may be. But I'm pretty sure he's not keeping kids. But you see, if the only hope we have is for us to come up with something that's going to make it better, we're never going to come up with something. God didn't come up with something. He had a plan of eternal life for everyone that would believe on His Son. He had an eternal plan to give something that would make us worthy of heaven. No, we're not worthy within ourselves, but His blood has made us worthy. Amen. And one day the gates of heaven will open, and He will welcome us in, not because of our own works or because of our own righteousness, but because His grace is sufficient and His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Man. So thank God for the resurrection. If in this life only, verse 19, we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most to be pitied. Man. But it's not just for this life. Amen. And without the resurrection, there's no love, there's no fruit of the Spirit. Can you imagine a life without love, without hope, without peace? That's not the way I'd want to enter eternity. Because I want to tell you something, friend. God's love is forever. God's peace is forever. God's grace is forever. You need Him. How could anybody reject the grace of God? But certainly people do all over this world. Reject the grace of God. You can't do without God's grace. Amen. And in the Great Tribulation, which I believe we're going to miss, I believe in the rapture of the church before the Great Tribulation. If you don't believe that and you want to go through it, God help you. But one of the judgments of the Great Tribulation, there is a rider on a horse, and his work in God's judgment is to take peace from the earth. You don't want to be here. You want to be with God. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace that He's got in charge. He's in charge of everything. Peace that you're going to be in heaven. Peace that you're not going to suffer the tribulation judgment. I'm going to tell you, from the judgment of God is for those who rejected Christ. The judgment of God is not for His people. Amen. There will be people saved during the tribulation? Yes. But, my friend, take the first train out of town. The rapture of the church. When God calls, let's go up. So this is the judgment of the Great Tribulation. This judgment will take peace from the earth. Mankind will be without power to offer any hope, any peace, or any love, or any future that's any good. The Antichrist will be just that, anti-Christian. Nothing about God will be in him. No hope. Everyone hopes for something in this life, something better in this life. But without Christ, hope disappears. It no longer exists. All search for hope is empty. So without Christ, what do you have? If you just don't have Jesus, don't have Christ, don't have eternal life, nothing eternal, I'll tell you what you got. Some of you already know this. You got aging, some of us, all of us. Amen. You know, the way I look at life is I'm one day closer to heaven every day. But without Christ, without the resurrection, all you've got to look forward to is aging, getting older, sicker, death, things go wrong, amen, hip, bone. Shall I go on? No, I'll wait. But everything gets worse. We age. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have hope, you don't have eternal life, you don't have anything to look forward to. But I want to tell you, friend, that's not all there is to it. In Christ, you have everything to look forward to. My friend, I look forward to seeing His face one day. I want to see the Christ who died, poured out His soul into death for me. Amen. I want to look upon Him who saved me by His grace, not because I was deserving of it, but because He loved me. He loved you. And so why should we just continue on in this? Because we believe that there's an end. We believe that God saved us for a reason, for a purpose, to deliver us and to set us free from the fear of sin and death. Praise God. And so if you don't have Christ, only hell and eternal separation from God is all there is. And none of that's good. And Scriptures call the second death. Because people that die without Christ physically, in their spirit body, they will perish eternally. They'll live in a state of death and dying forever. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that passed away. I have been a few times, more than a few. You can tell the ones that have Christ. Tell the ones that don't. Because there's a certainty there. This is not the end. It's just the end of my physical life. And born again of God's Spirit, they are in a better place. They're in a wonderful place. If you died with Christ, my friend, one of these days you're going to walk streets of gold. If Christ is in your heart, you've been given the gift of eternal life. You're going to shout with the angels of glory. You're going to fall at his feet and cry, "Holy, amen." You're going to be forever in the presence of the Almighty God, where everything is good and true and righteous and holy and pure and faithful and absent completely from sin. I want to tell you something, friend. To live in a world where there is no, to live in a place where there is no gangsters, where there is no mobs, where there is no rebellion, where there's no sinful things, where there's no killing, where there's no anger, amen, where there's nothing that this world characterizes the present world we live in. I want to tell you, a better day is coming, my friend. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we also always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Aren't you glad for the resurrection? I'm glad we serve him who is the resurrection and the life. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Every head bowed for the moment this morning. Let's say this. Let's go through this. If there's a person here that wasn't ready to meet God, I don't want to leave this place not given an opportunity for a person to be saved. I can't save you. This church, no denomination can save you. Jesus can, and he will now, today. If you don't have peace in your heart concerning where you're going to spend forever, I assure you that you and I and every person here is going to spend forever somewhere. One of two places. There's not any other option. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." The thief, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you'd say here today, "Pastor, I'm not ready to meet God, but I want to be," I want to tell you, you can be. God can save you today. You can be born again of God's Spirit and have certainty and assurance in your heart you're ready to meet God, because somebody your age and my age will meet him today. Amen. It could be you. It could be me. I just want to know that I'm ready to go. Is there one anywhere by the upraised hand? "Pastor, I don't have that certainty. I don't have that assurance in my heart, but I sure want to." I want to tell you, God loves you. God cares. We will pray simply with you, and God will save you today if you're not ready to meet him. Is there anyone anywhere? "I'm not right with God. The way I've been living is not right. I know it isn't right." Maybe you've been saved before, but you've turned away from God. Or you've turned back away from God. You've encouraged other things in your life, and you're not really walking with God today. I want to tell you, God still loves you. He's not willing that you should perish. He's willing that you come to repentance. He loves you. He cares. He will not turn you away. No matter how many times you failed, he still cares, still loves. Amen. Is there one anywhere you would just like for me to pray with you? I'll pray with you. God cares. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. My friend, you're ready to face death. It's not going to matter what anybody says or thinks. It's going to matter where you are with God. I need to be right with God today. Is there one anywhere? I need to be right with God today. Let's pray together. God will make it right. Amen. If you're feeling guilty and shame and you need to make things right with God, it's because you are guilty and you need to make things right with God. I need God today. One anywhere. I'll wait for just a moment. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God, that you're merciful and kind and gracious and loving. And I know, Lord, today people don't go to hell because you sent them there. People go to hell because they refuse your gracious offer of salvation through your Son. And I pray, oh Father, this word would stick with people, not my word, but your word, that need God. Our greatest need is you, Lord. And I pray your blessings upon us. Help us to live a victorious and overcoming life, to be people that are willing to repent in any time, and be people look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray your blessings upon us, God, today. God, while we're at it, we pray for the food that's been prepared. I know, God, we have plenty here in this nation because you provided it for us. It's a gift of God. And I pray that you bless us as we fellowship together. We love you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for your death, your burial, your resurrection, your soon return in the clouds of heaven. Give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you fellowship together.
Yes, and we invite you all to lunch. And if you're a visitor with us and filled out a card, if you will turn that in at the desk in the foyer, we would appreciate it. Thank you.